Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Bab Metzia, Daf Lametes, the third parak HaMafkid. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics that we're going to focus on, number one, the Braisa and the previous Daf concluded, V'kulam shamim lehem ka'aris, and all those who accept to manage a relative's property, we evaluate the profits for them like a sharecropper's normal share. The Gemara explains that this refers to netushim, unwillingly abandoned property, meaning live captive, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that such properties have the same law as shvuyim, properties of captives rumored to have died. The Gemara clarifies that this only pertains to installing a relative to manage the property, but abandoned property does not share the law of a captive's property that he can quickly consume its produce before the captive returns. Instead, he's paid like a sharecropper. Although someone who invests in his wife's nixa melug is not compensated, but merely enjoys the right to consume its produce while managing it, this case is comparable to one who spends on his minor wife's property, who's compensated like a sharecropper because he knows she can nullify the marriage through miun and might abuse the property. Point number two, Rav Huna said, "Ein morin katan l'nixa shvuye." We do not install a katan in a captive's property because he may ruin it. Nor do we install a relative in a katan's property, because since the katan does not know to protest against claims, the relative may come claim it's a share of their joint inheritance. Finally, we do not even install a relative of a relative in a katan's property, meaning a maternal brother of the katan's relative. Although he cannot lay claim to the property himself, he can assist the maternal brother, that's the child's relative, in taking possession of it. Rava said that from the fact that Rav Huna only disallowed installing a relative in a katan's property, but not someone else, we can prove in machzik b'nichse katan, one cannot establish presumption of ownership in a katan's property by occupying it for 3 years uncontested, as in the case of a gadol, v'afil higdil, even if he matured after the occupation began, because he may not know the property was his father's. If a chazaka could be established, Rav Huna would not allow anyone to occupy it. And point number three, the Gemara writes an incident of a safta, an elderly woman with three daughters. She and one daughter were captured, and another daughter died, leaving behind a young son. Not knowing if the elderly woman was alive, Abai wondered how her property should be managed. It could not be left with the remaining uncaptured sister, because if the elderly woman had died and the grandson inherited a share of her estate, the sister would be a relative unlawfully managing a katan's property. The katan could not be installed in the property because if his grandmother is alive, he would be a katan unlawfully managing a captive's property. Therefore, Abai ruled that half the property should be managed by the remaining sister, either as an owner or as a caretaker for a captive, depending on who was alive, and an apotropos is appointed to manage the other half, either for the young boy or the adult owner. Rav said, "Migu de makmin apotropo lapalga, since we appoint an apotropos for half the property, makminu apotropo l'idach palga, we appoint an apotropos for the other half as well." Although the Gemara stated on Amun Alef that we do not appoint an apotropos for adults' properties, that's because it's difficult to find a volunteer, but since one is being procured for the katan, he will agree to watch the entire property. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Braisa and the previous daf concluded, V'kulam shamin lehem ka'aris, and all those who accept to manage a relative's property, we evaluate the profits for them like a sharecropper's normal share. The Gemara explains that this refers to netushim, unwillingly abandoned property, meaning live captive, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that such properties have the same law as shvuyim, properties of captives rumored to have died. The Gemara clarifies that this only pertains to installing a relative to manage the property, but abandoned property does not share the law of a captive's property that he can quickly consume its produce before the captive returns. Instead, he's paid like a sharecropper. Although someone who invests in his wife's nixa melug is not compensated, but merely enjoys the right to consume its produce while managing it, this case is comparable to one who spends on his minor wife's property, who's compensated like a sharecropper because he knows she can nullify the marriage through miun and might abuse the property. Point number two, Rav Huna said, "Ein morin katan l'nichse shvuye." We do not install a katan in a captive's property because he may ruin it. V'karov l'nichse katan, nor do we install a relative in a katan's property because since the katan does not know to protest against claims, the relative may come claim it's a share of their joint inheritance. V'karov machmas karov l'nichse katan. Finally, we do not even install a relative of a relative in a katan's property, meaning a maternal brother of the katan's relative. Although he cannot lay claim to the property himself, he can assist the maternal brother, that's the child's relative, in taking possession of it. Rav said that from the fact that Rav Huna only disallowed installing a relative in a katan's property, but not someone else, we can prove in machzik b'nichsei katan, one cannot establish presumption of ownership in a katan's property by occupying it for 3 years uncontested, as in the case of a gadol, v'afil higdil, even if he matured after the occupation began, because he may not know the property was his father's. If a chazaka could be established, Rav Huna would not allow anyone to occupy it. And point number three, the Gemara writes an incident of a safta, an elderly woman with three daughters. She and one daughter were captured, and another daughter died, leaving behind a young son. Not knowing if the elderly woman was alive, Abai wondered how her property should be managed. It could not be left with the remaining uncaptured sister, because if the elderly woman had died and the grandson inherited a share of her estate, the sister would be a relative unlawfully managing a katan's property. The katan could not be installed in the property because if his grandmother is alive, he would be a katan unlawfully managing a captive's property. Therefore, Abai ruled that half the property should be managed by the remaining sister, either as an owner or as a caretaker for a captive, depending on who was alive, and an apotropos is appointed to manage the other half, either for the young boy or the adult owner. Rava said, Migu du makmin apotropo lapalga, since we appoint an apotropos for half the property, makmin le apotropo l'idach palga, we appoint an apotropos for the other half as well. Although the Gemara stated on Amun Aleph that we do not appoint an apotropos for adults' properties, that's because it's difficult to find a volunteer, but since one is being procured for the katan, he will agree to watch the entire property. All right, so now we go to the Simmer Daf Lamed Tes, and our standard simmon is a letter. A letter, and we often use a mailman in the siman. So here goes. The mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the Aris and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land lest he ruin it, stopped to talk to the apotropos of a captive elderly woman's field who told him that since he was appointed as an apotropos for half the property, he was appointed for the other half as well. Once again, slow motion. The mailman who delivered a letter, mailman, letter, that must be more duff, lamitas. The mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the aris, which reminds us, the brisa from the previous duff concluded, b'kulin shamin lehem karis, and all those who accept to manage a relative's property, we evaluate the profits for them like a sharecropper's normal share. The Gemara explains that this refers to netushim, unwillingly abandoned property, meaning a live captive's property, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that such properties have the same law as shvuyim, properties of captives rumored to have died. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the aris and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Ein morin katan nichsei shvuyeh, we do not install a katan in a captive's property because he may ruin it. Well, karov nichsei katan, nor do we install a relative in a katan's property, because since the katan does not know to protest against claims, the relative may come claim it's his share of their joint inheritance. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the aris and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, stopped to talk to the apotropos of a captive elderly woman's field, who told him that since he was appointed as an apotropos for half the property, he was appointed for the other half as well. Which reminds the Gemara relates an incident of a safta, of an elderly woman with three daughters. She and one daughter were captured, and another daughter died, leaving behind a young son. Not knowing if the elderly woman was alive, Abai wondered how her property should be managed and concluded that half the property should be managed by the remaining sister, either as an owner or as a caretaker for the captive, depending on who's alive, and an apotropos is appointed to manage the other half, either for the young boy or the adult owner. Rava said, Migu de makmina apotropos lapalga, since we appoint an apotropos for half the property, makminu apotropos idach palga, we appoint an apotropos for the other half as well. So once again, the mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the aris and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land lest he ruin it, stopped to talk to an apotropos of a captive elderly woman's field who told him that since he was appointed as an apotropos for half the property, he was appointed for the other half as well. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's wealthy choir had children's choir. That must be learned of Lamed Hey. La, la, la. The children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why a shavua she'enu b'reshuso would not force a gilgo shavua on a mashkon's value. Rav Gahan explained the cases where the Lobe trusts the Malva that the Mashkon is lost, so he doesn't swear. He doesn't trust the Malva about the Mashkon's value because the Malva is unfamiliar with it. The Mor explains that the Lobe applies to the Malva, Tamus Nusharim Nitanchem. The perfection of the upright will lead them to good fortune, meaning the lender's honesty brought about his wealth. But the Malva applies to the Lobe, Vesel Bogdim Yishadim, and the perverseness of traders will plunder them, meaning the borrower's dishonesty causes poverty. So the children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, had to return the seized auditorium to a borrower who finally paid up. Which reminds us, the scholars of Nardas say, Shuma Adar Tresa Yarchi Shasa, property which was appraised and seized to pay a debt is returned to the debtor if he pays it until 12 months after the collection. A Maimar, who was also from Nardas, said that seized property is returned forever. This is the halachim because of the pasuk Vasisa Yarshava Atov, and you shall do what is right and good. So the children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, had to return the seized auditorium to a borrower who finally paid up with money he made by lending out a cow he had rented, which died. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone rented a cow and lent it to someone else and it died naturally, the socher swears that it died naturally, for which he's exempt, and the shoel pays the cow's value to the socher. Riosi asked, Ketzad halaosas chor b'parasu shechavero? How can that renter do business with his friend's cow? Rather, the payment is given to the cow's owner. Daf Lamed Vav, so the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is lulav. So here goes. The lulav dealer, lulav, that must more Daf Lamed Vav. The lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered his prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes the Machlokas, shomer shemasel a shomer, regarding a shomer who gave over his pikadon to another shomer. Rav says he's patur from the pikadon's loss. Abai adds that this is not only so where a shomer chinam gave the pikadon to the shomer sachar, where he raised the level of shmir because the second shomer, being more liable, guards it more diligently, but even in the reverse case where a shomer sachar gave it to a shomer chinam, thereby decreasing his shmir, he's still exempt the hamasel ben das because he gave it over to a mentally competent person capable of guarding it and was not negligent. So the lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered his prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, and lambasted the shomer, telling him that even in the case of upgrading the shmirah, he would not have believed the second shomer's shavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shomer who gives the pikadon to another is always chayiv. Abai explained that this is not only so where a shomer sachar gave it to a shomer chinam, thereby decreasing its shmirah, but even in the reverse case, whereby he upgraded its shmirah, he is liable because the owner can say, I don't want my pikadon in another person's hands. So, the lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered the prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, and lambasted the shomer, telling him that even in the case of upgrading the shmirah, he would not have believed the second shomer's shavua, was interrupted by his assistant, who shared the bad news that another shomer was negligent watching their donkey used to transport the lulavim, which escaped to a marsh and died of natural causes. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Machlokas, if a shomer was negligent in watching an animal and it escaped to a marsh in which it was unprotected from predators and thieves, umesa kadarka, and it died naturally, whether the shomer is chayiv or not. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The attendant at the laser tag arena, laser tag, that mismimur on Daf Lamed Zayin. The attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, which reminds us, in a case where someone was given pikdonos in two bundles, meaning at separate times, and was negligent in not knowing who gave what, he must pay. But in a case where they gave their pikdonos together, which is similar to giving them in one bundle, the shomer says, you yourselves were not particular with each other, should I be particular to know who gave which amount? So the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if someone admits to having stolen from one of two people, but does not know which, he must pay both. The Mishnah's case is Bavo Etzei Sidei Shamayim, where he comes to fulfill his heavenly obligation to avoid punishment, which requires him to pay every possible victim. This is supported by the Mishnah's language, Shehoda Mipiatzmo, because he admitted to the claim. So the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was. And the ref told him he has to pay every player who claims He took his, which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva holds gezel from an unknown victim is paid to both if each is bari. Daf Ram Leches. So the similar Daf Ram Leches is a devralach liquid, and we use soup. So here goes. The shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner. When he made barley soup, that must be on Daf Ram Leches. The shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one left his produce with someone, the Tana Kama says, afilu hen avudin, even if it's becoming ruined by mice or spoiling, he shouldn't touch it to sell it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he should sell it in Beisdin, because he's like returning a lost item to its owner. Two reasons are given to explain the Tana Kama's opinion. Rav Kahana says, Adam rotz mekav shelo, a person prefers a cup of his own produce, for which he toiled, which might remain at the end, but tisha kavim shel chavero, more than 9 kavs of his fellow's produce, which he could buy if his produce would be sold earlier. So the shomer who didn't touch the kav of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, watched another shomer race to Beisdin to sell produce that was spoiling at a rapid rate, which reminds Rabbi Bar Barchana quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that this machlokes applies where the produce is becoming ruined at a normal rate. However, Yosef Mechdei Chesron, if it's becoming ruined at more than its normal rate of depletion, Divrei Akol Mochrim BeBeisdin, all agree he sells it in Beisdin. So the shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, watched another shomer race to Beisdin to sell produce that was spoiling at a rapid rate, and then purchased more to captive's property nearby that was being cared for by the captive's relative. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the laws of a captive's property. Rav says, Emoridin karvo nochoso. We do not install a relative who would inherit him in a captive's property to work and care for it, but Shmuel says we do. Rav says we do not install a relative, Dilma Mavsilu, because perhaps he'll ruin the land by trying to get as much as possible from the land while it's under his control and not fertilized between crops. Shmuel holds that since, even if the owner returns, the relative will be paid like a sharecropper, he will tend to it responsibly. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.